am delighted that you have found the Mindset Mental Meets podcast. I'm Angela Cox, your host and indeed the Mindset Mentor, and I'll be interviewing executives and founders at the top of their game to find out what lies beneath. I want to know what makes people proud, how they define success, what holds them back, and indeed what drives them forward. This is authentic and natural conversation with the best in the business. So listen in, enjoy, and if you love what you hear, please do leave a review. And now, over to today's guest. Welcome to the podcast. My guest today is the marvelous Stephen Gallagher. Now, I love Stephen. He is one of the most genuine people you will ever wish to meet. He holds a position as executive director in EF Group, which he tells me is a group purchasing organization. And we might find out more about that as we go through. Now, he's had a really long career in the food service industry, working in some huge organizations, including Compass Group, which I used to work at too. But my favorite part of the career history that he told me about is that he started off at Manchester Arena. Being a Northern girl, I love that. But that is where he met his wife. And I know that he loves his wife dearly, and I'm sure she will come into the conversation. He's smiling at me as I'm talking. Stephen, welcome to the podcast. How are you?
I'm really good. Thanks for having me. Yes, so I met my wife, Rachel, at the Manchester Arena. We both started out when we were students in the arena as a part-time job. And then that developed more and more for me. And that really cut my teeth in the food service sector, more the hospitality sector, and really got the bug for it. Absolutely loved it, especially the thrill of event days. And those days could last for 20 hours. You're in, seeing the deliveries, making sure that everything comes in. And then making sure, obviously, all the staff in and everything's prepped. And then, obviously, doors. And then for the end of event, you've got, you know, stock counts. And then for the big events, you've got backstage parties and backstage shindig. Yeah, it was amazing. And actually, one of the best days of my work in life was being in charge for all of the kind of drinks and hospitality for Justin Timberlake a very, very long time ago. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Did you ever meet Peter Kay when he was doing the sort of marshalling down there?
No, I never met Peter Kay once. I met some bands, met some footballers. I take that, but not Peter Kay, unfortunately.
Because he worked there, didn't he, for a long time? Wasn't he a steward?
Yeah, he was. And
then he'd be on the stage, wouldn't he, doing all of his Mum's Got a Bungalow tour. I'm thinking about him, Stephen, because he was my first boyfriend when I was at primary school. Can you believe it?
Really?
Yes. Wow. I know this. So I thought that Manchester Arena connection, we might have had two worlds colliding, but alas, no. It was Justin Timberlake instead.
Yeah. Who would have thought?
Oh, Stephen, we are going to be talking about your three proudest moments. And knowing you as I do, I know that you're not going to make these all about work. You're going to give us a real insight into Stephen, the human behind the leader, which is what we love. So what have you got for me for your first?
So difficult to choose from, but my proudest moment is, I want to talk about is actually being able to cut my meal and being able to write after my accident. So in October 2019, I had a really bad fall and I shattered my humerus, ended up with a rare condition called radial nerve palsy. And what that means is ultimately it means you're paralyzed. And my right arm was, my right wrist was completely paralyzed. So I couldn't use that hand to go to the bathroom. I couldn't pick up my daughter, couldn't type in a keyboard. I couldn't do anything, couldn't cut my meals up, and completely just changed my world overnight with that condition. There's no synopsis of if you will completely recover. And I had gone into some really, really dark places in terms of anxiety and really bad mood. You know, for the first time in my life, I felt really vulnerable. My wife, the balance in our relationship with my wife, was doing a lot of the work and couldn't drive. I completely lost my independence and was reliant on a lot of pain meds. And it was a really, really challenging time when I went to see consultants. The feedback from the consultants was that they simply didn't know and I would have to play a waiting game to see if the nerve recovered. And I had special nerve tests and they basically came back flatlined as if my nerve wasn't there at all. It was really, really scary. And I went through loads and loads and loads of physio, completely paralyzed. And I think in February 2020, just as COVID was starting to hit the news, I remember going to a meeting in Salford Royal to talk about the condition. And it was a small cubicle room, you know, meant for kind of three people. And there was about eight people in it. And they were talking about basically that it looks like I would be paralyzed forever and that they wanted to have this 11 to 12 hour surgery to take the nerves and tendons from my right leg and replace them with in my right arm. I asked many consultants involved in terms of the nerve and orthopedics, and I said, you know, this is absolutely necessary. Will my arm work again? Will my wrist, will my hand work again? And I remember the surgeon saying, you've got a better chance of winning the lottery than your wrist or your hand ever working again. And I signed the consent form and said, should I still be doing physio? And they said, no, there's your flatline and all your nerve conduction studies, there's no point. But I increased the physio, I increased the hand therapy, I did loads of stuff with my wife every day and kept at it. I was due to have surgery on the, I think it was the 1st of April 2020. COVID had massively just outbroken in the UK. And we had a conference call about 2 days before my surgery where there was advising that there was a severe risk of life and they wanted to pause the surgery because there could be cross-infection with anaesthetist. And I still kept going with the hand therapy and the physio. And long story short, you know, 6 weeks later in May, I was at my kitchen table and I said to my wife, I think my hand's working. When I was showing her, then she felt that my hand was working as well. And
oh my God.
This was a bank holiday, one of the consultants I became very good friends with. And during COVID, because they supported me so much, I was able to work with some of our suppliers and we were able to make donations to the hospital, Salford Royal, because they were amazing. And you know, we donated hand sanitizer and meals and different things. But I WhatsApped them on a bank holiday to say, look, I think my hand and my wrist is working again. He wrote back and he said, yes, Stephen, many patients think this, they want to believe this. Said, yeah, but I really do think it's the case. I really think it's the case. And he said, right, let's do a FaceTime. So he FaceTimed me and he said, like, I want you to go out to the kitchen, put your hand over the table. I want you to get a bottle of water. I want to see if your wrist can do it. And we've done these things and he was absolutely blown away and he was gobsmacked. And he was like, your hand's starting to work. Yeah. So then went in and yeah, I said, yeah, you know, you're definitely getting something back. We don't know how far it's going to come, but we didn't expect this to happen. And they were saying, you know, we don't use the miracle word, but this is defies everything. It defies all the tests. I remember doing a lot more physio and hand therapy. I remember sitting down with my wife and my daughter and I had a steak, which my wife would normally cut. And I had confidence to cut the steak. And I remember just crying. I don't cry that often, but I just remember that release, being able to do that. And it's something you take for granted until it's taken away from you. And then from that, working with hand therapy, working with physios and being able to write again and learn how to write again. And, you know, that is one of my proudest moments. And that was sticking through it and really, really hoping for the best. It was definitely character building, but yeah, it was also really, really scary. And I could not have done it without my wife, my, you know, my daughter, you know, all of the medical team were incredible.
I mean, I'm watching you talking to me now on the screen. Our listeners can't see you. They only listen. But I mean, you're flinging the hand around like it's never had anything happen to it. But what I'm hearing you describe is not only that moment of relief that it's coming back to working again and then building and making it stronger, but I'm also hearing you talk about something that so many men talk about, which is this idea of when all the things around them are changing and they feel like they're losing a part of them, whether it be the movement of the hand or something else, how despairing that can feel, how lonely that can feel, how scary that can feel. And almost where you were in that pit of despair when you're having to rely on your wife to do things for you, which goes against the whole idea of conditioning. And your ability to move forward through that, because it would have been really easy to just accept that as the new reality, but you've pulled yourself out of that and found the resilience to move forwards. And when I'm listening to you, that's what I'm taking from the conversation, is your ability to admit that you were there.
Yeah,
and that's been what you did about it.
Yeah, and that's been a massive journey. I mean, at the very start, I had PTSD, so I would my wife would wake me up, I had tremors. And then when I was in my lowest of lows, when I was thinking about, like, what is my purpose? What can I offer? What can I provide? There were some days where I just didn't want to be here at all. So, you know, seeing therapists, taking medication, there were huge things that helped me on my journey, and therapy was a huge thing. And I don't think in this country, I don't think we talk about mental health enough, but it is just as important as your physical health, and the two are entwined. And as you said, in terms of the balance of the relationship, you know, that took a while then to recalibrate for my wife to have that same level of confidence in me, for me to have the same level of confidence in me, and then us to adjust as well, because it's, you have to understand, I had to come to terms where that this was a life-changing moment and a life-changing, and I suppose that was a big thing for me to accept. You know, that was, I don't really like the term, this is a new normal, but it was my new normal, and it was about me being the best version of my new of myself, rather than comparing myself to pre-accident. Because, you know, a lot of feedback from family and friends, which was meant from a really good place, but, you know, they would say stuff like, you don't seem as fun anymore,
you're not the same.
You don't really want to go out that much. You're not that great crack.
Which is, I love all, that word, by the way, crack. I love that word. It's the best word
which
ever.
Which is all meant in a really thoughtful way. That made me then really think about things. And like I said, through working with my wife, working with a therapist, then being able to overcome those challenges of thinking about, if I go outside, could I fall? If I see a wet surface? You know, even it got to the stage where on a daily basis, if I was walking from the shower to just the hall, I would have flashbacks. I would have anxiety about it. So yeah, it's great to gone through that journey.
Incredible story. And you talking about bouncing forwards rather than bouncing back. I hate that term, bouncing back, because it does suggest we have to become the version of us before. And I feel almost like an affinity with this story, Stephen, having gone through it with my husband who had the brain injury. And what you're talking about in terms of the shift in, it's a power shift really in a relationship. And I remember having to take on all the roles he would, and then not trusting him fully to hand it all back, and how he felt in that and how I felt and all the challenges that it creates. So it's never about the moment, is it, when the accident happened?
No.
It's always about the 2-3 years that happened beyond that. Even after the injury has healed, there's so many shifts and changes. I mean, we could talk about this for about another year, Stephen, because it's fascinating. Mm-hmm. And like I say, I feel like I'm on a level with you. But we should move to our second one before we get too deep.
Yeah, the second one is my daughter, Anna. I've got a 6-year-old, and I'm really proud of seeing her resilience and her values. So her resilience is, last January, this time last year, she was diagnosed with moderate hearing loss, and she now wears hearing aids. And we were lucky at the time that it was diagnosed early, because it could have really affected her speech. And she's one of the only children in her school that wears hearing aids. She's the only girl in her class. And she adopted really, really well and embraced it. And also seeing values that she has, and the values that we're trying to give her as a child, in terms of being a good person and being generous and being thoughtful. That's what makes myself and my wife proud parents. But we have a WhatsApp group from the class at school, and one of the parents put last week that their child was having a particularly bad day at school and wanted to come home. And the daughter went over and spent time with her and, like, chatted there, and I made her feel a lot better. And she put in a WhatsApp group, I just wanted to say thank you very much, because that made a big difference to my child's day. It was a really nice moment last week. When I go and see the teacher at school, academia is important, but also the personal qualities and the values are more important. And what I love hearing from the teacher is the fact that Anna will go and try and help other people. If she finishes her work, she will ask if she can help other people. If she sees somebody struggling, she will do her best to help people. She knows at home, you know, about you know, like your daughter as well, trying to do stuff for charity. And
yeah,
there are challenges in life, but there are also a lot more people in the world that are in more challenging circumstances. And it's about thinking of those people and helping those people where we can.
I mean, the joy, isn't it, of hearing from a teacher, not they've got an A or they've got a gold star, but they've gone, they've crushed the self-orientation, if we're bringing it back to adult speech, they've crushed their self-orientation and made it about other people. I mean, yeah. If you can instill that in children, the world is going to be a better place, isn't it? Just yeah. Joyous. I can see the joy on your face. What I also love about you and your daughter is when we have conversations together outside of a podcast, how much she is your absolute reason why for so many of the things that you do. And it just comes across in everything when you're talking. It's the most beautiful thing.
So lucky. So I don't know if I've shared with you, but she is our little miracle. So we were told by 3 urologists that we could not conceive naturally. We were on the waiting list for IVF, and then, you know, it came out an amazing, the best surprise ever. I was so nervous about becoming a parent because a logical and pragmatic person, so I need to see stuff and experience stuff. And I just couldn't see how I would react and be a parent, but it does. And loads of people were saying it comes instinctively. And when she was born, it did come instinctively. And yeah, she's just absolutely amazing. She has the, you know, the best laugh. She just brings out a different side and gives you, you know, going back to what I said earlier about the accident and stuff, you know, she helped get me through the accident in terms of, like, she's the purpose of a big purpose of why I'm here and what I'm trying to do.
Totally. And also I'm getting this sense, Stephen, that you never take no for an answer, do you? You might not be able to fix your hand. You might not be able to have a child. Stephen's got other ideas.
yeah, absolutely. That's one of the things the surgeons loved was the fact that I was one of the few people that owned their injury. So I did my own research. I found someone through the web in Grimsby and somebody in the USA that had a similar injury and tried to get learnings from them. I did a lot of medical research and stuff. And then from that as well, I posted it on LinkedIn, and a gentleman from Singapore reached out from LinkedIn, and the accident had just happened to him.
Wow.
I had been able to give him some advice and then also introduce him to my hand therapist. Was incredible. Introduced him to my hand therapist who did virtual hand therapy with him in Singapore. And he's, you know, so I'm still in recovery. I'm still doing physio. I'm still doing hand therapy. And he's well recovered now. So he's in a great place. So
it's like ripples, isn't it? Ripples, because you will not take no for an answer. It's like, yes, all power to you. So relationship with your daughter, she's a shining star, an absolute, just loves people and will be there for people. So I can totally understand why that's a proud moment. What about your third one? What have you got for me there?
Third one is more business orientated. So 3 years ago, I've been at EF Group now for about 8 years in a variety of roles, and we've managed to work with a team to take the business from like 27 million to now circa 120 million. But 3 years ago, we realized that we could see inflation in the market. We could see that there was consolidation in the market. We really wanted to get best future for our clients, the best leverage of scale and huge investment in the company. So we looked at mergers and acquisitions and saw a huge opportunity with Compass Group, particularly Foodbuy, and met Kieran Atkins, who's an amazing person. For us, it was very much about finding a company that was the right fit for our organization, that shared the same values, the same beliefs, and the same vision for the future for our clients and our employees as well. And so 18 months ago, we completed an acquisition to Foodbuy. And that was a really emotional occasion for me. We went out that night to celebrate with me. That was an emotional occasion because it was the end of one chapter of realizing the success of our founder, Paul, starting this business in 2004 in his back bedroom. From nothing and driving it to this scale and now being part of the largest food service provider in the world. And since that journey, we have really seen growth and development of the team. You know, we have seen huge benefits for our clients in terms of support we can draw on. And it's been brilliant. It's been a really good moment for everybody. I'm really proud that ultimately as a team, we've worked together to get the business in a great position and then also be able to find an opportunity to join a really successful, mature company that also, you know, is working with us on the same values and principles and vision.
And it's a tough old journey. I mean, you make it sound easy, that journey of being acquired, but it's actually really tough for an organization because, you know, you've got a whole heap of transition that needs to happen. You've got to really look at what you're letting go of, what you're losing in order to then move towards where you're moving to. So for you as a leader in that organization, there's a whole heap of challenges that you've got to overcome. And I guess mindset we've heard about already today that you have around this, I'm just going to make it happen, come hell or high water. That's what you do, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And for me, it's about being honest with people, being completely transparent, being collaborative and, you know, setting the tone from the outset. And, you know, we had agreed, you know, the acquisition that everybody was aligned that we're buying the business to have the leadership team in the business and make the business better. So it wasn't anything else, you know, about trying to take out costs or anything. It was about investing for the future. And the huge, exciting element for us as a company is the plans for growth and the investment of the company and our people and our tech and to everything that clients see in our employees' experience. So there's just so much more opportunities. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is the most excited I've been in the time I've been in the business. Probably also the busiest I've been as well.
Well, it kind of goes hand in hand, doesn't it? You need to get to that point, Stephen, where you can be playing golf, you know, like 3 days a week and the business just operates. I mean, that would just be amazing. Yeah. Now, you've mentioned Mr. Atkins in there. I need your help, Stephen, because I've asked him maybe 3 times over the last 3 years to be on the podcast. And each time we never quite get him on. So now that you've mentioned his name and made him famous across all the listeners, you must give him a nudge and say, come on, Carl.
I will give him a nudge. Yeah. He is a busy man.
But you know, everybody needs time on the Mindset Mentor Meets podcast, don't they?
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's cathartic talking about yourself.
Yeah. It is. I completely agree.
So, I mean, you know, if we summarize those 3 proud moments, there's one that is all about your personal resilience, overcoming huge adversity, learning lots of lessons, but really being determined to do it anyway. We've got this beautiful relationship and your reason why being your daughter in the middle. And then we've got all of the work success that you've enjoyed and the team and you leading the business into this new frontier. So a really balanced view, I think, of proud moments across the board, which has been just a joy to listen to. So I'm really fascinated to see what you're going to say then about what you believe the secret to success is. And there's no right or wrong with this. So it's just what you feel.
Yeah, I believe the secret of success is believing in yourself. I have a lot of self-belief, as my wife always tells me. And, you know, I've always believed I can do pretty much anything or any role. You apply yourself. But equally, I always seek and always have sought feedback from peers, from senior team, you know, and from colleagues, reporting line, anyone. And every day, I literally just had a meeting with someone this morning and I asked if that person had any feedback for me and the organization. So I always think about, you know, what can we improve and what can I improve as a person? So yeah, that's, I think, really, really important. For me, it's maintaining your integrity despite any consequences. Yeah. So the one thing I will never jeopardize for anything or anyone's my integrity, my word, my bond. And sometimes that leads to difficult consequences. And it's really important, I believe, to maintain it despite whatever you perceive to be the consequences. So that if you feel, you know, if I felt that, you know, it was going to upset someone or if it wasn't the right thing to say or whatever, I wouldn't be at peace with myself. I couldn't go home and look at myself in the mirror at night. So I always believe and I'm leading with integrity. And with that, I think the relationships with employees, with staff, you know, they become part of that. They see that. They see that your actions match your words. And for me, it's more really important to judge people by their actions, not just the words. And also for clients as well. We've got some absolutely amazing relationships with clients. So we've got some clients, the company's 20th year anniversary is this year, and we've got amazing relationships lasting 20 years. And I've got relationships lasting the last 8 years, and they've all started off by honoring your word. And, you know, if there's any good or bad news, they hear it from you first, equally with the staff. Also, I think it's the ability to spot talent and nurture that talent and find the right people. So, you know, in the last, especially in the last couple of years, we've had new talent join the business. We've had recently fantastic lady that worked in a department for 18 years, now move on to a different senior role in a completely different area of the business. And I'm buzzing by that. Because I'm
buzzing, I can see.
I'm buzzing seeing that person buzzing, and you know, it's completely different. And equally, we've had, you know, our QA, QC manager move into a more client-facing role. And again, gentlemen's absolutely buzzing and buzzing from seeing that and people being promoted and people being seconded to different departments. And that's one thing that I absolutely love, you know, is seeing those people progress into new roles, different roles. More importantly, people getting excited. You know, I want people to enjoy the work. I want people to come in an environment that there's support and challenge, but they don't have to put on a work mask. They don't have to put a work front. That if they're having a bad day or they're having stuff at home, they can talk about it. We're all a team. We'll help each other through it. We've already said during this podcast that life can be really challenging. Mm-hmm. It's just about working together to make it as fun as it can be. And those challenges are, you know, easier overcome together than by yourself.
It's so, I mean, there's a few things in there, isn't there? The spotting talent and allowing people to find their way with that is one thing. But I really love what you said at the beginning of that segment where you talked about self-belief being the secret to success. And then you talked about integrity, which is a core value for many. And there's a really interesting link in our pretender model that we call it in Perceder 360, whereby if you're not living in alignment with the value, in your case in integrity, then actually it diminishes self-belief and increases self-doubt. So for you, to being able to put those two things together, almost like dovetail them, integrity is so critical and self-belief is the secret to success. One creates the other. And if you're not being aligned to integrity, then it will erode your self-belief. And it's just a key moment, I think, for people to hook into here, listening to you, because self-belief isn't something that we just switch on and decide. It's something that we almost cultivate through our values and through the beliefs that we hold, then allows us to dumb down the inner critic, dumb down the inside job, as I call it, that, you know, all of those voices that influence us and prevent us from putting the mask on, as you've just described, the workplace mask. And if we can live like that by really understanding who we are and what we represent and not allowing anyone else to take us away from that, then self-belief is something that comes as a result. So I'm really thrilled that you've said those two things in the same paragraph, because they are so intrinsically linked.
It's so important to bring those values from your personal life. I feel under your work life and love by it. Yes. So for example, I've been on occasions with prospective clients where I can tell from the client's language and behavior and tone, they are looking for a transactional supplier and not really a partnership. So there has been instances where I have said, look, thank you very much for your time, but I would actually recommend these companies. Yeah. I don't think we're the right fit for your organization. And they've asked why. And I said, you know, we are for, you know, we're looking for a long-term view with a client. We're looking for collaboration. We're not just looking for, you know, a transactional relationship. And I remember, you know, the first time I said that to our business, some people were thinking, wow, you know, you've just left money on the table, you've walked away from business. But, you know, my core belief is that, you know, it's really important that our business aligns with our values and our clients align with our values as well. And, you know, our clients do. And we, like I said to you before, we have some incredible relationships where we have collaborated and developed processes and tech with our clients. And that's where we see the future, and I see the future as well.
Co-creating value. Love that. Oh, so the secret to success, according to Stephen Gallagher, you heard it here, is self-belief, and you cultivate self-belief by being aligned to your values. And for you, integrity, staying true to your word across personal and business relationships is the key. And then you've brought in as well this idea of spotting talent and allowing them to cultivate that talent and move in directions that are going to make them feel fulfilled. Whew. You could write a book, Stephen, with all of that. You could write a book.
Well, my wife's read your book and I've listened to it on the audio file. So, you know, you've set the bar pretty high.
Oh,
so,
I tell you, it's a low bar, Stephen. It's a low bar.
I think I need a little bit more experience before I consider that.
I think you'd make, honestly, the story of the first proud moment would make a cracking book and would help many people. As always, it's been a joy to talk to you. I always love our conversations. I particularly like this one because you're letting other people in to your world. And, you know, that's going to help people with some aha moments, I'm sure. Thank you for being so open and honest.
You're welcome.
You don't really get a choice, do you, on this podcast, to be fair.
Thanks, Angela.
But it's been a joy. Have a wonderful rest of your day. And lovely listener, I hope that you have enjoyed this wonderful conversation and that you'll tune in again next week for another fantastic guest. Have a wonderful day. Take care. And so, just like that, we're at the end of the podcast. I hope you've enjoyed your time listening today, and a big thank you from me for taking the time. I'd really love it if you would be able to leave a review, because it really does help us to get noticed. And if you haven't already, why not subscribe, and then you never miss an episode. I wish you a lovely rest of the day, whatever it is that you're doing, and I hope that you stay safe and well.